We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. In hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to the Roto Grinders Morning Grind Podcast. I'm your host, Stevie TPFL. It is Monday. It's October 3rd. It's 2022. We have 11 baseball games to talk about here on today's podcast. Appreciate everyone listening throughout the baseball season. Officially down to the last 3 days of the regular season. Hope everyone has had a great year. And again, just appreciate everyone listening. It's been a ton of fun this baseball season. It's very, very interesting baseball season, that's for sure. So joined today by my good buddy Will Priester, the Chief, the Justice, and he is 06. Chief Justice 06. What's happening, my friend?
Nothing much, man. Glad to be here yet again, closing out the last week of the baseball season. And it's getting down to the nitty-gritty, the serious time, Stevie. And so while this week may not seem as pleasurable as you've mentioned over the years, playoff baseball is actually very good because teams are playing for something. And so it gives us an edge. And also a lot of guys are checking out. Like, they don't want to get involved in MLB DFS, and so there may be some edges. So I after we get through this week, man, MLB DFS is actually going to get fun again.
Yeah, I mean, playoff baseball is one of my favorite. And, you know, the fantasy prop sites, you know, like our sponsor Sleeper, this is the time to really jump on those, because these props are – they're going to be juicy during the playoffs. I think everything is set except for the Braves and the Mets. We're still, you know, battling that out to see what's going to happen. Atlanta's winning the Sunday night baseball game as we're recording. If that happens, I think they would just need to beat the Marlins once. Speaking of Sleeper, if you haven't checked them out, sleeperfantasy.com, it's a unique prop-based fantasy site where you and your friends can enjoy fantasy sports together in a fun and social way. You know, they have the squads where if someone posts an over-under, you can click it and copy it and play it if yourself, if you want to do that, get that joint sweat that, you know, our boy Chief likes to talk about all the time in the prop shop. So if you haven't checked them out, use promo code Grinders, get a 100% deposit match up to $100. And once you use the promo code Grinders, you're instantly going to be put into the Roto Grinders squad. If you're already part of Sleeper, you can click in the description of the podcast. There's a link to join the RG squad. I'm posting picks in there all the time. So, you know, my Sunday Night Football one is looking pretty good. Just need Patrick Mahomes to get his over passing yards and one more field goal here. So if you haven't checked him out, Sleeper Fantasy. Will, 11 baseball games on a Monday. They're not giving us any breaks this week. It's a busy week for baseball. Let's jump in. We get started with Toronto at Baltimore. 8 total in this game. The Blue Jays, a 140 favorite. We got Berrios against Kramer. Any interest here in Jose Berrios?
Man, the price, Steve, at $6,200, I feel like I should be interested. The problem is I think I'm going to leave him on the shelf. He's just been awful here. Down the street, well, not awful, Steve. I don't want to say awful, but the upside is just not there. So I'm going to let Berrios stay on the shelf, and I'll be more than happy to play some other guys.
Yeah, I'm with you. I don't think this is a spot I want to play Berrios. Like, Baltimore finished the season, the second half of the season, really strong. Berrios really hasn't showed that ceiling. How deep are they going to let him go in this game, I think, is a question mark. You know, is he going to be one of their starters when they get into the playoffs here at the end of the week? So, I mean, the Blue Jays are locked into their spot. I don't know how far we'll necessarily see Berrios go in this game. So I'm going to pass. And then Kramer on the other side of the game, assuming that we get a normal Blue Jays lineup, 15% K's against right-handed hitters this season, a very right-handed heavy offense. Any interest here in Kramer?
That's a negative. No way I'm playing Kramer here.
Yeah, I mean, $6,600 is a fair price. We're going to have a few pitchers in good spots today that I think we're going to like a little bit more. Pitching, this last 3 days of the season, pitching is the toughest because – They're not going to let these guys, if they start getting into trouble, there's no reason that Dean Kramer, one of their young pitchers, are going to be like, hey, we're just going to let this guy finish his season off getting shelled. So definitely want to see what he has, but I think this is a really tough spot. Let's talk Toronto bats. Any interest here in the Blue Jays?
Like you talked about, man, if we get a somewhat normal lineup, they're definitely a team that we can stack, and hopefully they don't get wonky and start pulling guys. Definitely a good spot for them. I'm not afraid of Dean Kramer. Baltimore can hit. I mean, excuse me, the Toronto Blue Jays are absolutely a great team to attack despite their season, and so I'm in on the Blue Jays bats.
I do think one day this week, the three games that we're going to have for these wild card teams, one day this week at least, we are going to see a B squad lineup for these wild card teams. They're going to give these guys a day off, get ready for the wild card. I mean, you want them to be firing on all cylinders here, but a day off is coming. So if you do get that like B squad lineup for Toronto, Kramer would be a lot more interesting in that aspect. So if it's the normal Toronto lineup, I don't hate him. I don't love him. This Baltimore ballpark has changed so much this year. So it's tough for me to say, oh, I'm going to load up on right-handed hitters in this ballpark. So not my favorite. If they were a little bit cheaper, maybe. The Baltimore bats against Berrios. Obviously, I have a little bit of interest in Rutschman and Mullins, Santander and Henderson. Don't think I'm full stacking Baltimore here. I don't mind maybe a one-off or a two-man, but I don't think this is a full stack spot with these prices.
Yeah, I actually think I'm going to just avoid Baltimore altogether in general. I think there's some other teams I feel a little bit better about today.
All right, we're moving on. We got New York at Texas. This game has a 7.5 total. The Yankees, a 150 favorite. Perez against Severino. Any interest here in Severino?
No. I mean, he may be okay today, Stevie, but the Yankees have no reason to push him whatsoever. Like, I feel like we're kind of back in that spot where, and I don't think they're going to give us Severino pitches like they did get Cole the other week when hopefully the people listened to us, Stevie. They made a little money on that, but I don't think they're going to give us Severino. They're not going to push Severino here at 9,800. Forget it. No way I play him at that price. No way.
Yeah, 9,800, only 76 pitches last time out. I mean, there's no reason for him to go over 90 pitches here at 9,800. I just think his ceiling is kind of capped. Still coming off of the IL, only two starts under his belt. This is one of those spots where, hey, let's go out, throw five innings, clean innings, and, you know, we'll move on to the playoffs. So they're going to need Severino in the stretch. So I don't think we see a full game out of him here. Perez on the other side of this game, left-handed pitcher against a very right-handed heavy offense, low strikeout, high walk pitcher. I mean, I'm not playing Perez at 8,500 against the Yankees.
Yeah, negative. No way. Price. No way.
I know. This is the price makes me chuckle a little bit. Anyway, let's talk some bats here. Yankees on the road. Aaron Judge against the lefty. If he's pitched to in this game, I mean, Martin Perez, this is a great spot for it to happen finally, I think.
Yeah, fly ball, ground ball pitcher, fly ball guy. Yeah, I'm with you. If they pitch to him in Texas, like you said, he should be able to get there. Either way, the Yankees have got some guys that you hit here. You know, Donaldson, of course, has been back healthy. Gleyber Torres has been, you know, really strong for them as of late. You know, Rizzo as well. So, you know, these guys are back. They're hitting. I am in on the Yankees offense.
Yeah, I think it's a good spot. Perez, I think you said ground ball pitcher, but gives up a ton of hard contact to righties. 21% Ks against right-handed hitters this season. So, like these power right-handed bats in this lineup, and obviously Judge, Donaldson, Stanton, guys that are at the top of the list here. So, any interest in the Rangers bats here?
I really don't think I want to attack Severino. My thoughts are he goes 70. I think he goes 75-ish pitches again. And that's going to be enough, I think, to limit the Texas offense overall. They'll bring the bullpen in, and that'll kind of handle the rest of it. So I don't want to get involved with that offense.
Yeah, I mean, a good bullpen behind him. Like, yeah, no interest here in Texas for me. Tampa Bay at Boston facing the Red Sox. 8 total in this game. The Rays, a road 140 favorite here going up against the Sox. Glasnow against Hill. Tyler Glasnow came back last time out through 50 pitches. Had good velocity on his fastball. 8,100 here against the Red Sox. Well, I would guess 75 pitches is max here. What are your thoughts on Glasnow?
I mean, gotta be, right? And then the thing about Glasnow, Stevie, though, that I do think is interesting, which is kind of, let's maybe call it the reverse of the other guys. They actually need Glasnow to ramp up a little bit so that he's ready for the playoffs. So while these other guys like, you know, Cole and these other ones should not be, you know, passing the 90 pitch mark as much. With him at 50 against Cleveland, I gotta think, like you said, they actually get him more pitches. At 8,100, I still don't think I'm going to play him at that price. But for props, Stevie, if we get him at like a 4.5 strikeout prop, I think we're taking it. I think that's what we do. I think we take it because now it gets very interesting with him needing to ramp up and get ready for the playoffs.
So, I mean, I don't know what they're going to be expecting for Glasnow playoffs-wise. I think they're going to be very careful with him coming back from Tommy John. He wasn't even supposed to pitch this year. I mean, we'll see. I really don't see him throwing more than 75 pitches in this game. And Tampa is the type of team where, like, they have no issues doing this, like, opener long relief type of thing. So like in the playoffs, if he can throw 75 good pitches and they get out of the first round, I think that's more of what you're looking at. I don't see Glasnow being an option here today. Could easily cruise in this game, but at 8,100, you need more ceiling on an 11 game slate. So I'm going to pass and tell you for certain on the other side, I'm not playing Rich Hill either. Rich Hill, really low strikeout pitcher, strikes out lefties at a decent clip. Tampa is a strikeout heavy offense, but I still think there's enough right-handed hitters in this lineup where I don't want to play Rich Hill.
Yeah, for sure. Just not doing it. Like, Boston has no reason to run Rich Hill out here and pitch him 100 pitches anymore this season, do they, Stevie? I mean, like, don't we think that game against Baltimore may have been like, okay, this is it. This is your last real game, Rich. And then, you know, we'll send you on home for the season.
Well, I mean, the one interesting thing when it comes to Rich Hill, I mean, is this his last start of his career?
I mean, it could be.
I mean, he is a free agent at the end of the year. He is 42 years old. I mean, could this be his last start of his career? I mean,
it could be.
If you like those narratives, Rich Hill has been pitching the big since 2005. I don't know if a team would bring him back next year or not. I mean, when he's healthy, he really has not been a bad pitcher this season. It's just being healthy, and Rich Hill is Rich Hill. So, listen, if I don't know if I'd necessarily say it was a great career, but it was definitely a good one. So, I mean, if it is his last start, who knows? But if you like those narratives, maybe. But what are we looking at here for the Tampa Bats?
Here we go. Bats. I don't know, Stevie. And here's why I say that. How much do you think this Tampa Bay offense is good? Because Tampa Bay will pull guys. Like, this is a team I know for sure. You know, they'll have Randy in there. He'll go 5-6 innings. They'll pull him out. How many more games do they have this week? 4-5?
No, Wednesday's the last day.
So, 3 games, basically.
3 games.
3 or 2 or 2 to 3. One of these games, they're probably going to get pulled. Let's just hope it's not today. Maybe they let them go full go today and pull them for Tuesday or Wednesday. I'm still slightly afraid of Tampa because they could just switch a route, do some platoon stuff, and then suddenly, you know, Randy Rosarena's in there for 4 innings, which he's one of their everyday players, I get, but they could definitely give him some rest and some of these other guys. All in all, is this a good team to stack against Rich Hill? Like, absolutely. It's a fantastic team to stack. I'm very afraid that they might move some guys.
Well, I want to see what the lineup looks like. Are they going to try to lose a couple games here so they play the Indians and not the Blue Jays? I mean, that's a little bit. You laugh, but I mean, who would you rather play? Would you rather play the Blue Jays or the Guardians, not the Indians? So, I mean, if they're the last seed in the wild card, they, you know, potentially might have to play the Astros. So, I mean, it's a tough situation, but I don't know. See what the lineup looks like. If it's a normal lineup, obviously have a ton of interest in Paredes at 3,800. Ramirez at 3,500. A Rosarena is expensive, but if you're playing the two cheaper guys, it won't be too hard to get a Rosarena in there. On the Red Sox side, Glasnow's a good pitcher. I mean, you could chase a one-off home run here with like a Devers, but I'm not going out of my way to play the Red Sox today. The lineup that they rolled out on Sunday was really, really bad.
Yeah. and too bad that Gausman got hurt in that game because he was going to mow that team down, and I was counting on that. But no biggie. It is what it is.
Yeah, I saw that lineup, and I don't typically play DFS on the weekends, but took the strikeout prop. So,
yeah.
Washington at New York facing the Mets. No total in this game. Corey Abbott, Carlos Carrasco, Any interest here in Corey Abbott?
Negative.
No, I mean, lowest, one of the lowest strikeout rates in baseball with the Mets. They would need to win out, and Atlanta would have to lose out for them to have a chance. But I do think, like, we see a normal Mets lineup today, unless they just throw the towel in if they end up losing on Sunday Night Baseball. Another one of those things where you have to check the lineup and see what the lineup looks like overall. But I think right now, as of right now, I don't think I have interest in Abbott. Some interest in Carrasco, Will, 9,600.
Whoo!
My issue, though, is like pitch count. I don't know if it's even pitch count. Are they like, I don't know what they're doing with this guy. Maybe I don't. I don't know. I don't know what to think here with Carrasco. If he's pitching well, do they let him keep going? It's Washington. This is a team that he can beat when he's pitching well. They technically need to win the game. What are your thoughts here with Carrasco?
I mean, he's 9,600. I think he's 9,600, and that's my concern. Like, how well does he pitch against Washington, who they do have some strikeouts at the end, like, now that their team is kind of watered down, but they're still fairly heavy contact overall. Some strikeouts, but, you know, some of these guys, he's are still going to give him some problems. I think it's the price for me, Steve. I think I wish he was like 8K. And I feel like I'd be more in on playing him today. Because I am with you. They do need to try to win this, you know, hold the Braves back. Looks like the Braves are going to win this game. So I'm with you. I think he's a little bit too expensive for the upside he might actually give us today.
Well, my question for you would be, do we like Carrasco at 96 against Washington or Kirby against Detroit at 9K, both probably maxing out at about 85 pitches? I think that is like one of the bigger question marks on this slate.
Yeah. And I think I side with Kirby against Detroit.
I mean, that was my initial lean as well, but I think that's just something like, I think it's one of the good comparison when you're thinking about this slate as a whole.
Yeah.
Bats in this game, anything on the Washington side?
That's the interesting part. I actually don't hate Manassas. He's been good, man. He's 5,100. I don't hate playing him. Yeah, I don't hate playing him as a one-off here. He's like the ultimate tournament play in my book. Nobody's really going to be thinking about him, so I like him a lot.
Yeah, I mean, journeyman minor league player that really never got a shot after playing in the minors for a very long time, and proven himself for sure. Mets bats, I love the Mets here. If we get a normal Mets lineup, Abbott is a low strikeout pitcher that gives up a ton of hard contact and a ton of fly balls. I think the Mets are one of the top stacks on the slate if we get a normal lineup today.
Yeah, I'm with you. I mean, like you said, they need to win. So this is an exceptional spot. Abbott's, he's not a nobody. He's a major league pitcher, but strikeouts should be very low against this team. I love the Mets here. Love the Mets.
Arizona at Milwaukee. Sorry, I watched Mike Evans almost get his head taken off, and I need a half a yard from him, but he got right back up, so made me nervous there for a second. Got a little nervous there for a second. Well,
looks like Cameron Brate's not playing anymore. Anybody that gets any type of head contact, trust me, they are not going to have them playing after this Tua situation.
Yeah, Tua should have never been back in the game. Seven to 7.5 total in this game. The Brewers, a 250 favorite. We got Henry against Woodruff. Any interest here in Brandon Woodruff?
I mean, Stevie, do you think he goes the distance here? Like,
yes.
I mean, I'm looking at 84-75. Mathematically, can they still get in? Like, I don't think they can.
I didn't. No, they're in.
I don't think they can still get in, can they? No.
They're in. Yeah, they're in. I mean, the Giants have a chance still, but I think they're one win away. I think the Brewers finished with one win or a Giants loss.
That's what it is, because they're 84-75. Padres have already clinched. The Mets and Braves, one is going to clinch the division. Yep. One's going to be wild card. And then I was looking at, just wanted to make sure. So, yeah, if he's going to go full goal, like, he's probably the top big spend on the slate for sure. Top big spend on the slate.
Yeah. My only concern would be, would they roll him out a full game here if they needed him to pitch Thursday? Is my only concern, but I don't think they'd be rolling him out today if they wanted him to pitch on Thursday. So watch the news on Woodruff today, because they technically would play on Thursday. I think. Maybe, yeah, they would technically play on Thursday, so against the Cardinals, and he just absolutely dominated that team. So watch the news on that. I don't know. Would it be Woodruff or Burns getting the first game? I would assume it'd be Burns.
Gotta think Burns. Gotta think Burns.
So even pitching on a Monday for Woodruff, they would likely want him to go second. Thinking this through, this is what the podcast is for. Thinking this through, I mean, I wouldn't be shocked if he throws like 70 pitches here and they try to throw him Friday.
You're saying...
Because it'd be 4 days instead of five. Most pitchers get 5 days. So for him to come back on Friday, I think he might get a leash here. Because Burns would get day one, unless they would do Eric Lauer. But I don't think Lauer would be the guy they'd want to throw second. I think it'd be Woodruff. No. But
well, let me ask you this: if they win.
They need to win one of three games, and the Giants have to win out. Like, there's a great, great chance that they are going to make the playoffs at this point. I don't know. No, they have to win this game. Philadelphia, we totally forgot about Philly. Philly's that team. It has nothing to do with the Giants. It's Philly's. The Brewers have to win out. Wow, totally overthought that. The Philadelphia Phillies would have to lose. Brewers need to win. Like, that's the only way they're getting in. They have to win these three games. So we're going to get full workload for Woodruff here. And he's by far my favorite pitcher on the slate. Again, like, he was almost overthought it, not overthinking it. Brandon Woodruff against Arizona in Milwaukee. He is the spend up on this slate.
Yeah, for sure. That settles it, Stevie.
I forgot about Philadelphia.
And I was sitting here looking like, wait a minute. I was like, they're 84-75. Giants are 80-70.
The NL East, like, you just think the Braves and the Mets, because of what all the like cool drama that we're getting down the stretch with those two teams. And totally just forgot about the Phillies, man. And the Phillies are playing Houston. I don't know if Houston's going to roll out like normal lineups. So, like, there is a possibility for the Brewers to get in. Like, there is a possibility Houston could sweep Philly and the Brewers could sweep Arizona and the Brewers get in on the last series. But I had looked at it earlier and I was like, man, there's two National League like things going on. The American League set. So there you go. There you go. There you go. Tommy Henry on the other side of this game, he is 5,400. We've loved left-handed pitchers against Milwaukee this season. It's just he's giving up home runs, and his command has just been so bad here recently. I don't necessarily hate this spot, but I hate the spot. Does that make sense?
I'm with you. That's how I feel about Henry. Like, he's getting the strikeouts in most of these games, Stephen, limited pitching with limited outings, but he's giving up too many runs in the process. Like, he's just a props play. He's probably going to come out at 3.5, maybe 4.5, and you probably just take the over. But you can't play him for DFS. You just can't.
All right, let's talk some bats here. Any interest in the Arizona bats against Woodruff?
No.
The Milwaukee bats, in a game they need to win, Renfro against the lefty, McCutchen against the lefty, Adames against the lefty, that gives up a lot of home runs. Like, this is a good spot. I think Renfro is one of my favorite hitters on the slate.
Yeah, man, for sure. I mean, 4,700, I am in.
You're going to get a ton of value on this slate hitters-wise. I mean, you're going to see some lineups throughout this week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Series game one of like the wild card series starts Friday. I was off by a day. There's a gap between they have a day off on Thursday. I think it's for any makeup games they need, or if they needed a play-in game or whatever. But anyway, so technically I think Woodruff would still be good on Saturday if they were to get in. So Woodruff's going. All right. I like the Milwaukee bats.
Yeah, I'm in.
Minnesota at Chicago, taking on the White Sox. 7 total in this game. White Sox a 125 favorite. Bailey Ober against Johnny Cueto. Any interest here in Bailey Ober?
No.
Man, the White Sox have been terrible this year, and this guy just absolutely shredded this team. He's 6,900. If he's pitching well, I mean, it seems like they'll let him go, trying to see what they have out of him.
It just felt like an outlier to me. That's all. I mean, he hasn't picked up 10 strikeouts all year. Like,
he's very good against right-handed hitters. So I think it's really just going to come down to what this White Sox lineup looks like handiness-wise, because Moncada is like the only lefty that they have going right now. So if for some reason it's only like Moncada and Sheets, maybe you take a shot on him with how bad this team has been this year against right-handed pitching. Like, I don't know, are they going to get better on the last week of the season? I don't know. It's tough to say. Like, I want to see what the lineup looks like. If we get a very right-handed heavy lineup, I think you could take shots on Ober. We don't have a ton of cheap pitching options on the slate.
Yeah.
Johnny Cueto on the other side, only a 15.7% strikeout rate on the season. When I'm attacking Minnesota with pitchers, I really want high K rate guys. They put the ball in play. They have a few strikeouts with Sanchez and Jevers on the bottom, but I don't think this is a spot I want to play Cueto.
Yeah, I don't play Cueto at all. Like, I just haven't played him only because he's low strikeout. Like, he's had ground balls and stuff like that, but yeah, this he doesn't have enough strikeout stuff for me anymore.
Nah, still a solid pitcher, man, but I'm not running to like stack Minnesota against him. I think this is going to be a pretty low scoring game. I mean, you could take shots on Correa if you want some cheap bats here for Minnesota. You go down and get maybe like Jake Cave or Wallner if they're in the lineup, Gordon if he's in the lineup. But I just don't think Cueto has the ceiling, and I don't think Minnesota is a team that's going to go out and put up 10 runs on the slate.
Yeah, not at all. Not at all.
Man, I just thinking about this Ober spot again, like, I don't love any of the White Sox bats here.
Nope, I do not. And the crazy thing about the White Sox, Stevie, just in general from a season perspective, like, they're 79 and 80. A lot of their best players were hurt for half the year. It seems like they haven't played well, and they might finish the season slightly over 500, depending on how it shakes out. Like, when is this team going to actually turn the corner? Like, man. It's crazy.
Well, I mean, if I'm the White Sox, there is no question in my mind that Eloy doesn't play another game this year.
Yeah.
Like, as much as this guy,
there's no reason.
Yeah. As much as I have this guy locked in, I think he signed a 6-year contract. So 2024, 2025-ish, I think he's under contract with this team. And as much as he's been hurt, like, there's no chance that Eloy Jimenez sees the field again this year. So I'm just saying, for me, I think it's going to be a weak lineup.
Yeah.
I didn't know Jose Abreu was a free agent. Did you know that at the end of the year? That'd be interesting to see if he re-signs with the White Sox or not. Philadelphia at Houston. No total in this game. We got McCullers and Nola pitching in this one. Man, Aaron Nola against Houston seems scary, but in a must-win spot. Like, not okay, let's not say must win. They need to win.
Houston's already clinched their division.
I don't know if I'd say must win, but they really need to win this game. Philadelphia does. So I think this is a good spot to take some shots on Aaron Nola. I mean, if I'm Houston, I'm definitely rolling out my lineup in two of these three games because, I mean, they're going to have a nice little break here being the number one seed in the AL. So I want my guys to get some at-bats and games this week. But Nola is a guy with the ceiling. In a game where it's such an important game, I think you have to take some shots on him here. I like Woodruff more, but I think Nola is a good tournament play as well.
Yeah, for sure. I'm with you. Nola, I think – so Woodruff and Nola both going to pitch, both should play deep. If for some reason we got a weird Houston lineup, Nola might even be even more in play. So he's got as much stuff as Woodruff most nights as well. So Woodruff is definitely facing the weaker team on paper, and Nola should have a much tougher time here, but – I don't mind playing him because, like you said, Steve, you know, he's got upside, and they need to win. So I'm in on that for sure.
McCullers sick. Did not pitch last week. I mean, he hasn't pitched in 11 days, 12 days. So I have a tough time playing McCullers here. I don't think the spot is necessarily bad. I don't know what his leash is going to look like in large field tournaments. Maybe a great play here. I mean, if you're Houston, are you trying to keep Philly out of the playoffs? They're a pretty dangerous team that you could see, in the World Series potentially. You never know. So I think I'd rather play the Brewers, but I don't know. McCullers is someone that I think is a great tournament play, but in cash games, he's really risky because you really don't know what his workload's going to look like here.
Yeah. I don't think I can play McCullers, dude, because they've already clinched. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, I mean, they don't have a reason for him to go all the way.
They've clinched. Like, they don't play this weekend.
Yeah. Like, you're right. Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
They're set. Yeah, they're set. So I don't know. I think I'm gonna pass on McCullers. But I do think, like I said, I do think, like, if you're playing a bunch of tournament teams, he is a really interesting large field tournament play here.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
Any interest in the Philly bats?
No.
Yeah, I mean, they're expensive. Like, the baseball fan in me is like, yeah, man, maybe I should take some shots on the Phillies here. McCullers hasn't pitched in 12 days, and, you know, this is a spot where, oh, they need to win this game. But $6,300 for Harper, Realmuto is $6,000, Schwarber's $5,800, Hoskins is $5,000. The stack is just so expensive that I don't see myself stacking Philadelphia against McCullers, and I don't see myself playing Houston against Nola. I mean, this is a game that should be really low scoring.
Yeah, I'm definitely not doing that. Only interested in Nola out of this game. That's it.
Detroit at Seattle. 7 total in this one. The Mariners, a 250 favorite. Garcia going up against Kirby. Brian Garcia, we've seen him a little bit last month. Was it August? Was it August? Yeah, not last month. Man, we're in October now. So a little bit in August. Pitched okay against Cleveland, getting a call up here from AAA to, you know, get another start. I mean, tough matchup against Seattle. I don't think I want to play Garcia here. Like, yeah. Julio's back too. He's going to get activated today. Like, you're going to see a really normal Seattle lineup here.
Yeah, negative. No way I play Brian Garcia in this spot.
Kirby, though, I mean, 85 pitches from Kirby might be enough against Detroit.
Yeah, I mean, I think he picks up at least 6 Ks in that amount of time. At least he should. It's possible. And he's 9K, like the price on Kirby. We're going to need some SP2 action for sure, and I think he can give us that.
He pitched 5 innings against this team at the end of August. 5 innings, 5 strikeouts, 2 hits, put up 23.5 fantasy points in that outing, 79 pitches. Maybe one more strikeout I think he hits upside. Like, Getting enough strikeouts here is going to be the biggest thing for him. So, yeah. I have no interest in the Detroit bats. I can tell you that for certain.
Yeah, negative.
Seattle. I don't mind Seattle. Like, we haven't talked about a lot of hitters and stacks out today. I think Seattle could be a sneaky stack today.
Yeah, I mean, as long as because they've already clinched as well. They're a wild card. Let me see. Are they jockeying?
Are they Rays? Yeah, it'd be between them and the Rays to see who's the 2 and the 3. That's why I said, if you're a Seattle, do you want to play, you know, against Toronto or do you want to play against Cleveland? It's such an interesting.
Yeah,
punt these 3 games. But the thing is, like, I think I'd rather play the Yankees than the Astros if I win the wild card series. Oh. So, like, I think I'm trying to win. If I'm Seattle and trying to stay above the Rays.
Yeah, I think Seattle plays here. You know, and this I think it's a good spot for him. Like, I don't feel like Garcia is the worst pitcher in the world. Like, but he's. Seattle's got a lot of firepower on this team, man. And I, you know, especially if Julio's back, Haniger's there, Winker. And I know Winker hasn't been elite this season. You know, Pete Crawford, Suarez, like these guys, they can still hit. So I'm with you. I like Seattle. I think they're a good sneaky stack to end the night where most people may overlook them for sure.
San Francisco at San Diego, we got Miller going up against Musgrove. No total in this game. Shelby Miller, back in our lives. we're not playing Shelby Miller here, right?
No.
Yeah. This is okay. So, I mean, the Giants are out of it, and you're just like. You're going to see three. I think you're going to see 3 really interesting pitching options for the Giants this week with them being out of it. I just don't see them rolling out guys like Carlos Rodon and Cobb and Wood and these guys, Webb. Like, you know, we saw was Alexander pitch yesterday. Like, yeah, I just no interest in Shelby Miller at all. Joe Musgrove. I mean, one last like ramp up game type spot for him. I think he's someone that another guy that goes 85 to 95 pitches. I don't think he's the worst option here.
I mean, yeah, facing the Giants, not too bad. I think the price at 8,700 is what makes it interesting enough where you can take shots.
Well, I mean, you got to have some pivots off of Kirby. I think a lot of people are going to play Kirby.
I like Kirby Musgrove, but Musgrove against San Francisco is not – it's not bad. I mean, in fact, if you think you want to load up on the bats, like Musgrove-Kirby may be even a good combination to get in some of the expensive bats that you like.
Yeah, I mean, I think – man, I think I like Musgrove a lot. Like, I think him and Kirby have really similar upsides. So, like, if Musgrove is going to be – a lot less owned, projected ownership wise. I think he's a really interesting play here.
Yeah.
Any interest in the Giants bats?
No.
Yeah, I'm going to pass. I love the Padres. They're one of my favorite stacks on the slate. I don't love the ballpark. I don't love the fact that if they get up by a lot of runs, they probably take these guys out. But if they get up by a lot of runs, I'm hoping that I'm crushing anyway. So, I think this is a great spot against good old Shelby Miller.
Absolutely. This team, and I know Soto probably seems like he hasn't been as elite as he should be, but I mean, this guy's a spectacular hitter. So he's on the list. Machado's on the list. Cronenworth, I mean, just stack this team up. Brandon Drury's even been really good as well. So just stack this team up, man.
Yeah, I mean, Soto was in a situation where he didn't want to be in. So it's so tough to look at his overall numbers on the year for him.
Yeah.
He's an elite hitter. He really is. Until he proves otherwise, he's an elite hitter. So LA Angels at Oakland, Sandoval against Martinez. Any interest here in Sandoval?
I don't think so. Well, I know Oakland hasn't been great. Sandoval 7K. He just really seems to falter down the stretch here, Stevie. Really seems to falter. So I'm just at 7,700. I don't hate it, but he's not like my favorite play. Did you get what I'm saying?
I mean, he just got rocked by this team as chalk last week.
Yeah,
last week. So, I don't know. I think he's going to be popular in this spot. I think it's a good spot. I think they're going to let him go pitches-wise. They haven't really had anything to play for a while now, and he's still getting his normal workload. And I think normal workload matters today. God, the Oakland lineup is just so bad. It's like Robbie Ray faced them on Sunday, and the lineup that they rolled out was, I think it had like a 25 or 26% K rate against left-handed pitching. So, I mean, he failed in this spot, so maybe he's lower owned here, but I definitely think he's in play. He's too cheap. And then Adrian Martinez on the other side of this game. That's an easy no for me.
Yeah, negative.
I stacked against him last week when he faced the Angels, and it did not work out. He only allowed 3 earned runs and one home run. I'm going right back to the well in this spot, and I think Ohtani is one of the best hitters on the entire slate. So I like this spot a lot for the bats here for the Angels.
Absolutely. I'm in.
Man, the Bucks have picked up first down 3 times in a row and have had 3 penalties against them. They are killing me. I need a field goal. Nothing like a good old fashioned field goal sweat. They are the worst, but they're the best. Any interest in the Oakland bats here?
Negative. I don't want to play the pitcher, but also don't want to play the bats. This is kind of a scratch-off game for me.
I mean, if you want to play Pinder or Garcia, I think those would be the two guys. With Murphy banged up, he's usually the guy that we look at as well. But, yeah, I don't think it's going to work. Last game here, we got Colorado at LA taking on the Dodgers. Jose Urena going up against Tony Gonsolin. Any interest in Jose Urena against the Dodgers?
No.
Yeah, I mean, even if it is the B squad, no. Like, this game has an 8 total. The Dodgers are a 370 favorite in this game. Tony Gonsolin coming back. I expect him to go about 60 pitches here. Maybe like he might not even get like a pitch count. It might just be, hey, go out and throw three or four innings in this spot. He's 10-1. He's the easiest fade on the slate.
Absolutely. Biggest fade, Stevie, like gigantic.
Yeah, not even necessarily like wanting to play the Colorado Bats in this spot, but there's no chance I'm playing Tony Gonsolin here.
Yeah. Yeah, negative.
I love the Dodgers. They're my, I think they're my favorite stack on the slate against Jose Urena. I'm hoping we don't get like a normal Dodgers lineup, and we can get some cheap bats here. Their lineup should come out like right before lock happens. So, you know, people won't adjust and stuff. But yeah, I love this spot for the Dodgers against Urena.
Yeah, man. As long as they get their full complement of playing time. You know, they're going to be expensive. You know, Betts is 5,900, right? Trey's 57. Freeman's 56. If you want the big guys, you got to pay for them. But once again, this stack should crush.
All right, let's play the morning grind game. Give me a pitcher under 8K to get six or more strikeouts today.
Let's go with I'm going to go with Sandoval, but I hate it.
I'm going to go Bailey Ober.
Yeah.
Over 8K to score under 15. Who's your bust today?
Perez.
I'm going to go Tony Gonsolin. I don't think he's going to pitch deep in this game at all. Over 4K to hit a home run. Who do you like to go yard today?
Let's see, Stevie. Give me Hunter Renfroe against Henry.
All right, took my guy. That's okay. I'll take Aaron Judge against Perez. under 4K to get two hits. Who's a cheap bat that you like today?
Well, this is mainly because I think, you know, these guys are going to be playing. I'm actually going to stay in the same game. Give me Andrew McCutchen.
I mean, yeah, they're going to be playing for sure. This guy's been struggling here down the stretch, but I think this is a good spot for him to get back on track. Give me Tyler Nyquin against Abbott.
Yeah.
Give me a stack to score six or more runs, Will.
Give me the Mets.
I'm going to go to the Dodgers. I don't even care what the lineup looks like. I think the Dodgers smash in this spot. So 11 games in the book, two more days of the regular season. Appreciate everyone hanging out. Will, any final thoughts?
Negative. I'm glad everybody. Nope, I said negative. So that means I don't have any thoughts. Closing it.
There you go. That's going to wrap it up here for Monday. We'll be back Tuesday talking baseball. Good luck, everyone. We'll see you then.